Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The new quarterly journal, American Affairs, has not been introduced lightly. It's got some heavyweight introductions here. It's been called a new Trumpist magazine by The New Yorker, the intellectual journal of our Republican moment by The Week, and part of the intellectual future of conservatism by The New York Times. Unveiled last month at Harvard, the journal has received both praise and criticism for its attempt, according to the editor, to fill the void left by conservatives who spent more time opposing Donald Trump than examining the issues that secured him the presidency. The editor of the American Affairs Journal is Julius Krein. He joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So I read all those weighty descriptions of your journal. Do you agree with them or disagree with them?
Well, I mostly agree. I think to call it a Trumpist magazine, any single word descriptor like that is always going to obscure some things. And I think it was certainly provoked by Trump, provoked by the issues of the campaigns of the last 2 years. And it does look to unite some hopefully interesting people from both the right and the left into creating a new sort of communitarian policy consensus as opposed to the existing kind of neoliberal policy consensus before Donald Trump. So it sees Trump as an opportunity, but to call it Trumpist, I think, implies a level of relationship with the administration that does not exist.
Okay. Communitarian policy consensus. What do you mean by that?
Mainly, I mean, to put it into one sentence, regrounding political and economic power within the larger society.
So is this an attempt to put an intellectual framework around the movement, the moment, the energy that was captured or encapsulated by the Trump campaign?
I think that would be a good description of the goal.
Okay. This is an interesting challenge here because, you know, even during the campaign, there were some intellectual, some bloggers, for example, who at that time were blogging anonymously because they were...
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah, that was us. That's what started this whole thing.
Okay. So I'm curious. I mean, the challenge there at that time was to put a framework around something driven by a man, Donald Trump, who doesn't necessarily have his own personal political philosophy. I mean, what I'm trying to say is I feel like another way to define Donald Trump himself and his movement is his impulsiveness, his tendency to act towards self-interest. He contradicts his own statements. He's kind of inconsistent at times, and he frequently departs from fact. So how are you going to put an intellectual framework around a movement led by a man who's so difficult to pin down?
Yeah, there's a lot there. I would agree, of course, that Trump does not express himself in some kind of systematic, theoretical way. And it may be the case, I don't really know, but it may be the case that he has no theoretical orientation at all. But there was always a very clear direction in his rhetoric, you know, trade policy, immigration, a critique of interventionist foreign policy. Those things were pretty consistent throughout. In fact, you'd have to say on certain key points, he was much more consistent than most of the political rhetoric we're used to for several generations, in which we always expect our candidates to flip-flop and move toward the center and things like that. But to get to the larger point, you're right, of course, that I have, you know, no idea what exactly the Trump administration will do. And there's always a difference in theory and practice. And usually the way these things work is the theoretical doctrine is kind of outlined before a candidate wins on it, where in this case it's the reverse, which prevents a unique challenge. But regardless, the issues that he won on are not going away, and they do need to be better developed and articulated by someone. And we're going to attempt to do that. And to the extent that we can influence the White House as well, that's great.
No, I think it's a laudable goal, but I'm wondering how you may react to criticism that comes from Donald Trump's most fervent supporters themselves, because you're attempting to engage with Trumpism in a manner which I think, you know, I can describe roughly as from elite circles, when so much of what drove his campaign was a fierce anti-elitism.
That's true, but it was against a certain kind of elitism. And unless you think that there will never be any kind of elite in a society, which at least we don't, then you're always going to have an elite. And the question is, what does it represent? What does it espouse? Who does it serve, if anybody? And right now, I think the critique is of a very detached elite that really exists to benefit its own class interests. And the question is, can we reground that again, not only that elite, but the political and economic power that it wields within a larger society to the benefit of more people?
Now, is this necessarily something that was driven by Trumpism? Because, I mean, Bernie Sanders appealed on many of similar issues to millions of people.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's something that Trump captured. I think the conditions were there, you know, much deeper and broader than the Trump campaign itself, though Trump benefited from them. And I think there is a lot of overlap, at least on certain issues, with the Sanders campaign. And like I said, we will be publishing, although this effort really originated from the right, we will be involving and publishing a number of interesting thinkers from the left who are interested in taking their own approach to these issues, which will overlap with ours perhaps more than the traditional ideological divides might indicate. I think perhaps that's what's the most interesting and exciting opportunity presented here, is that we can really have a broader realignment beyond the sort of 1990s post-Cold War consensus into something around deeper lines. And the old categories of right and left simply will not mean as much anymore.
Mm. Well, Jeet here at the New Republic, of course, firmly rooted on the left, he is. You know this criticism. He's said that it's hard to escape the conclusion that the purpose of the magazine is not to develop ideas, but rather to fashion a disguise so that the vulgarity and profanity of Trumpism may be acceptable to prissy elitists. You have responded to this, but I'm just wondering if you could share what your reaction is with us.
I think if you actually read the magazine, you'll see that's not the case. I mean, Trump is not mentioned, is mentioned hardly at all in the first issue. We're not taking any cues from the administration. And, you know, some people have to oppose these things just out of kind of reflexive political interests. And I'd say that was that. So the best thing I'd say is just read the journal. The first issue is up online and come to your own conclusions.
And how frequently will the journal be out?
It's going to be print edition will be out quarterly. And we will be adding some more online content in between issues in the future.
Well, Julius Krine is the editor of the American Affairs Journal. It was wonderful to have you. Hope to have you back sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.